Good evening, it's April 17th, 2022. Coming up, hundreds of people packed into the Ferry Building in Richmond on Saturday to wish East Bay living legend Betty Reed Soskin well as she hangs up her hat at the age of 100 after being a National Park Ranger at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Park for 15 years. We'll hear from Richmond residents, elected officials, and National Park Rangers on the ways in which Betty's mission to tell a more inclusive version of the Rosie the Riveter story has inspired them and paves the way for a more inclusive future.
Some of the different lessons that Betty not only taught me, but so many people, how she was more than a colleague, but a friend, an icon, taught us how to not only be ourselves, but advocate for others and tell an inclusive story.
And we'll hear a little bit from Betty herself.
I was a late starter. I didn't have my first significant job until I was 50. I raised four kids to adulthood before I had a job. I'm a late bloomer.
I'm Sharon Sabota, and this is a special edition of the Weekend Evening News. Betty Reed Soskin may have gotten a late start in her career as a National Park Ranger that she began at the age of 85. But she's never fallen short on touching hearts and minds. On Saturday, April 16th, hundreds of Betty's supporters gathered at the park's Ferry Building to celebrate the retirement of 100-year-old Betty Reed Soskin.
Hello. I had no idea when I came through the curtain that you were all sitting here and that you were all here for me. I just have no way of thanking you for being here always, because I think that you've been the wind beneath my wings always. Thank you very much.
After working at the park for 15 years, Betty retired on March 31st, 2022. Betty joined the team at the Rosie the Riveter Museum as a powerful orator with a vision of telling a more inclusive version of history that amplified the voices of Black women who still experience segregation while working alongside white women in the shipyards. Well, Betty has a reputation for keeping an auditorium full of visitors sitting on the edges of their seats, hanging on her every word. Betty listened as park rangers, elected officials, friends, family, and admirers from all walks of life sang her praises.
I've spent a lot of time reflecting about the enormous impact Betty has had on the National Park Service and the lasting legacy she leaves us with.
That's Kelly English, the Division Manager for Interpretation, Education, and Outreach.
The knack that she has for speaking her truth in a way that opens everyone's hearts to hearing it is unparalleled, but serves as an incredible roadmap for future generations of interpreters, both Park Service and beyond the Park Service, charged with telling the stories of our nation's history. We have an opportunity to change the dominant narrative and inspire more visitors through following her example to be inclusive of all the narratives.
English was technically Betty's supervisor.
Being her supervisor, because how do you really supervise Betty? You know, she first told this story at a dinner, and she was introducing me to someone, and she put her arm around me, and she said, "You know, this lady likes to think she's my supervisor." And I said, "Oh no, I labor under no such delusion." But serving in that role for her, which really, to be honest, and just entailed smoothing the way, working with the government systems necessary to make sure that she could sit in front of audiences and work her magic and do what she does best. That role has been one of the greatest privileges of my life. We will dearly miss having Betty in uniform, but we will be happy to host her virtually on Microsoft Teams Thursdays at 2 o'clock, whenever she's up for it, as a park volunteer. When she announced her retirement on her last day on Thursday, March 31st, One of the virtual program participants on her last day proudly shouted through the camera, "Once a ranger, always a ranger." And that is certainly true, not certainly for Betty, but we are a four park family here in the East Bay, particularly at Rose of the Riveter. And so absolutely, Betty, once a ranger, always a ranger.
Armin Johnson is the public affairs specialist for the park.
I was able to work with Betty pretty closely, helping her with her programs, coordinating different things in the community. I really got to do so much with Betty. It was an incredible time getting to work with her, getting to know her on a personal level. I'm so close, I consider her like a family member.
She always joked that she's going to like go from the park to the cemetery. She never wants to retire. At 100, she's retiring. So what was it like to see her kind of having her last day here with you all today?
It was amazing to see her be recognized by the National Park Service on such a grand scale. I found myself in attendance reflecting on some of the different lessons that Betty not only taught me, but so many people, how she was more than a colleague, but a friend, an icon, taught us how to not only be ourselves, but advocate for others and tell an inclusive story. Looking at all the parts and realizing that we can all have a different story and just come together and tell those.
So right now we're in an era where telling truth is an act of resistance, and there's a lot of pushback around things like critical race theory, which is really about telling the whole story, right?
Yes.
What do you say to people who are pushing back against things like critical race theory?
I think it's important to be able to come to a point to have the dialogue and hear each other out and to tell all the different layers. And we're, at the end of the day, we're all so similar. So let's come together, tell those stories, and understand and learn from each other.
Beautiful. And I can't let you go without having you elaborate on the one other point you brought up. You said you found yourself listening and kind of reflecting on all the lessons you learned, and you started maybe naming a few, but do you want to name a few of the most important lessons you learned from Betty?
I would say the most important is just being yourself and finding your voice. That's the most important thing that I've taken away from Betty.
Beautiful. And how are you doing that in your role as a park ranger?
Just helping tell the park story. For example, here at Rose of the Riveter, we have the Rosies, we have the different service workers, you have just so many different layers. We talk about how we treated the Japanese Americans so unfairly, and we just work together to just layer all that history in and just explain it and tell the folks that come into our park why this is important and to also share it.
Congressman Mark DeSaunier presented Betty with a proclamation.
Betty Reed Hoskin is a friend and a national treasure. She's amazing. You don't meet many people in life who are as special as she is.
And cited Martin Luther King Jr.'s quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that."
She's been tenacious at telling the history, the accurate, unvarnished history of racism in this country and here in the Bay Area. And if we're going to heal, we have to know the honest history. And my own view is we as Americans haven't done that. You've seen other people in other countries, South Africa, Germany, confront the evils that are part of their history, and they heal from it. And Americans, and Betty has helped convince me of that. And the way she does it is not judgmental. It's just a light. And it's very healing. We all have our own truth, and that's fair. We all have our own biases and prejudices. But the only way you get past those is being open and listening to the truth. Everyone's truth.
Martha Lee is retired from the National Park Service after serving for 40 years. Lee says she is proud to have worked alongside and with Betty over the years, as Betty did her storytelling magic.
I was superintendent at Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Historical Park from 2005 to 2010, and then worked in our regional office until I retired, overseeing parks and programs throughout the whole western United States.
And how did you work with Betty?
Betty was here doing work on planning when I got here. I started talking to her and was really pretty surprised that she did not see her story reflected in what she saw as how this park was going to be planned and revealed to the nation, nor did she consider herself a Rosie. We talk a lot, and I was fascinated with her skills as a storyteller. And I think, as Kelly English remarked, her remarks at the end, Betty has an amazing way of touching on topics that can be incredibly painful and divisive in a way that opens people up to hear what she is saying and open people up to each other, so that conversations, real conversations, can be had. Sometimes it's magical in when she was doing the programs in the auditorium in person, or in the early days on a bus before we had any place physical to tell the story. For me, my lessons for Betty is that history becomes most powerful when we can connect ourselves to the place and the story and tell that story in a way that demonstrates that everybody has a connection. And the challenge is to leave here and discover yours.
Lee says the city of Richmond is better for having the park in it, and the park is better for having Betty as a part of the team.
We are still in a building period to create a more perfect union, a place with liberty and justice for all. And to do that, we have to reflect the stories of all the people in our nation in the sites that our nation sets aside as national parks, whether they're national historic sites or national parks. We have to be inclusive in those stories that we tell in these sites. And by recognizing some of those hard stories, a community like Richmond, when I got here, had no feeling that it was connected to this park. It was kind of a wart on the down here on the waterfront, where a lot of citizens never even had seen the water. Richmond brought that to us, to go into community and talk about the stories of this park, that the stories of this park are their grandparents' stories, are their parents' stories. And it was so important that it happened here, that this is the place in the whole 50 states of the Union that was chosen as the best place to tell this story. So there's a sense of pride, I think, in owning that and understanding that Richmond, as we all know, is an incredibly vibrant, wonderful community to live in, and it's also so critical as part of our nation's history.
Beautiful. Anything else you want to add?
I think Betty has inspired so many across the country, and I am sure that her work of encouraging the diverse stories and inclusion is going to go on and become a core value of the national park system. So.
Rick Penn is a former National Park Ranger who proudly carried a picture that included Betty.
Betty and I worked together for many years in different projects, a lot of Black History Month events. And since she is so much a part of our American history story, this is a photograph of Betty and four or five other rangers at an event at the Maritime Museum in San Francisco. And she'll be really missed, and hopefully, as Kelly said, she'll come back and do some virtual events for us. And I love her dearly, and I'll say to myself, I want to be like Betty when I grow up.
Betty's daughter and primary caretaker, Diara Reed, said she was overwhelmed with joy.
This is my mother's official public retirement, and she's receiving her roses after doing an incredible work.
And you're having a hard time getting through. Everybody is surrounding her. They don't want to let her go. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling everything she's feeling. Just the love is everywhere, and she deserves it.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
And more.
Yes.
Definitely. And how are you going to keep the social justice kind of baton moving forward?
Oh, that's in the DNA, honey. We ain't gonna worry about that.
Anything else you want to say?
Oh, just a blessed day.
Thank you, Diana.
Betty's son, Bob Reed, also expressed pride.
She has given what she has to give. I think she's come to some recognition that it's time to shift back a gear.
That makes sense. And what did you think today as you saw this place crowded with so many people?
It was beautiful. I am always skeptical about public events like this, whether people can actually pull it off. The sentiment was beautiful. So many people showed up. The right people showed up. And my mother was deeply moved, as was I.
And the last thing for you, what's the most important lesson that you've learned from your mom and the way that you'll kind of carry her you know, her fighter spirit, her social justice spirit forward.
My mother, as a family, we joined the Unitarian Church in Walnut Creek. And what I learned out of that experience was that I'm here to make the world a better place.
And you're continuing to do that, and one of the ways is music.
Yes.
This 10-year-old boy made a sign for Betty.
It says, congratulations for your retirement and birthday.
And did it say thank you for your service? I think it said that too.
Yeah.
His mother says she brought him because she wants him to be connected to things and people that matter.
Achala jaya gude. Yeah. Because I want to show him her legacy and taking care of precious national parks. And we are very appreciate and for the young generation to show her legacy.
And where are you from?
We're from Richmond.
And yeah. And how familiar were you with Betty and her work?
Because I want Eagle to grow up with this kind of a community work, and I want him to be understand how we can contribute to the world and to the change. We want to show some positive impact to the world.
And what's the most important thing you learned from Betty?
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going and stay positive. And live long life, 100 years. If you think about something to do, you can do it, I guess.
You're listening to KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, K248 97.5 FM in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. I'm Sharon Sabota. We've been listening to voices of people who gather to honor Betty Reed Soskin at her retirement party on Saturday.
My name is Aisha Walker. I was born, raised, and I live in the city of Richmond, California. So it was extremely important for me to be here today and to bring my kids with me.
How old are your kids?
So this is my son and godson. Ali is 7 and Zaire is 8.
And why was it important to bring them with to meet a 100-year-old kind of legend in this community?
I think it's important to embed the seeds in the young people right now and to let them know their history, their legacy, because they are part of this. As residents of Richmond, California, this is their history also. And to be able to grow up and to look back to the photos that we have with Miss Betty, I think it's gonna be really important, and to give them something to look back on.
So the main thing that Betty really did is she told the story. You know, she said it's a both and world. This could be one person's truth, but we have to tell the other truth too.
That's right, yes.
And sometimes people push against hearing the whole truth. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important that we make space to hear the whole truth and include all the voices?
Yeah, I think there are so many opportunities for us to melt the barriers between us. And that when we can accept ourselves, then we can accept those around us. And when we can accept those around us, we can make this world a better place.
I'm Shantae Robinson, and I am inspired by Betty. My grandmother was also a Rosie the Riveter. She came here in the 1940s, the same time that Betty did from New Orleans. And I am inspired to create a film about her and her life, and my grandmother's life. And I just decided to come just to show my support for her retirement.
Sherry Camino is an accountant and an aspiring park ranger in her 50s who drove in from Sacramento along with her family because of her visions of meeting the woman who inspires her to pursue her dreams.
Life isn't over at 65, you know, and just because I've been doing accounting for so long, I mean, yes, I do enjoy it, and it's like very problem solving, but I realize I can do that in another area too, so... We'll see. One of these days, maybe.
Yeah, let's do it. And then what's the most... You've only known about her for a short amount of time. What are you learning from her so far?
You can do anything. We can do it, you know? I mean, don't let stereotypes stop you, you know? Just don't be afraid. Go after what you want.
Okay, my name's Erica Bauer.
Erica Bauer, and yes. You are the daughter?
I am the daughter of Sherry Camino.
Okay, yes. And what's the most important thing you gained from being here today?
I loved just seeing her and hearing more about her because I didn't know a whole bunch about her. And I loved seeing my mom see her was a big part of it. I know how much my mom wants to be a ranger someday, and she says, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to be a ranger. So it was really cool to see her have the whole experience and see everything.
What do you think is the most important thing you've learned so far about her?
I think learning about how she amplified Black voices and actually told about the information that was there, because a lot of it is kind of either hidden or like, oh, that was so long ago. So it's a lot of it is just not ever told, and we never learn about it. So I think it's nice to learn for a change about a different perspective of how things went down and stuff like that.
Perfect. Does anybody want to add anything else?
We're going to watch the movie, listen to the songs and everything. I'm a fan now.
My name is Harpreet Singh Sandhu. I'm a former council member of the city of Richmond. Different communities come and go, but we should really understand, just like we, the Sikhs, have come in the 70s and so forth, but there was a lot of history that was before us, which because of that history, we benefited. So we should recognize and understand what people have done for the betterment of human race here in Richmond.
Right, and in the same way that you might have benefited, then sometimes in cases you've been marginalized as well.
Absolutely, and that's, and you know, Betty, a person of color, and that's what's so important. And we are also a person of color. It's important that we recognize that we're part of the fiber of this nation, and that we have the same struggles. And sometimes we need to get always be engaged, but also be heard.
You're listening to KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, K248 97.5 FM in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. I'm Sharon Sabota. In this last segment, we'll hear some words from Betty herself in a previously recorded interview.
My voice may be so atypical, with such an atypical story to tell.
That's Betty Reed Soskin reading from her memoir, Sign My Name to Freedom.
I'm still working my way out of feeling as though racially I'm nothing, but I finally decided that in fact I'm really everything. And it's a wonderful thing to be, after all. At least that's the way I see my beautifully blended grandchildren.
Betty says that her activism journey as a storyteller began after she lost the three most important men in her life.
I was married at 20 to Mel Reed, a man who I met at 14. I was 14, he was 17. He was, at that point, I think, in his senior year at the University of San Francisco. That marriage lasted for about 35 years, produced four children, and ended when I was about 49, late 40s. And my second marriage was to Bill Soskin, who was Dr. William F. Soskin, an illustrious professor from the University of California, research psychologist. That marriage made me a faculty wife on the university campus, and I got a non-traditional PhD, which we called the pillow PhD. That was an amazing period of travel and exposures that I grew in off new edges that I didn't even know existed before then. All of those men, my father, whom I loved dearly, my first husband, and my second husband, all died in the year 1987, within 3 months. And I had been completely defined by the men in my life. I had no idea, because I didn't go to college, which meant that I had never had life as a woman before I became a mother. So that period that you people who are on campus live, I had never lived through until I was 50. And it wasn't until that period of intense grief for about 3 months, and then right behind that was this burst of emancipation. And I've been spinning in space ever since, being Betty the individual, being the woman in me. And I think that now that I'm 96, I have the distinct feeling that I'm being all of the women that I ever was. Right now, that I'm using everything that I ever had, everything that I ever learned, and that each of the women that I have been is triggered either by songs, by something I read, by a snatch of music, by something one of my kids says, and all of the affect of that period comes. It has led to a 96-year-old, very, very rich life, because I'm in all of those women right now.
Retirement to Betty is a fallacy.
I keep asking at the park, you know, when are you going to have the what are we going to do with the old lady meeting? And they keep saying, not yet, Betty. So I think that I'll probably work until I don't want to work anymore. But I think that retirement is a kind of a fallacy. If you want to do it, fine. I'm not sure that I could have done it because I was a late starter. I didn't have my first significant job until I was 50. I raised four kids to adulthood before I had a job. So that I'm a late bloomer. So that I'm still catching up.
And that connects to my other question. Yeah. Sometimes people will say that they had some dream or they had some vision and it's too late. They didn't do it. And what do you say to those
people? I know.
People?
I am living my entire life in a constant state of surprise. I am still having first experiences at 96. I have sat in a conference room at the park and had a Skype session with a class of juniors in Eugene, Oregon. I participated in a panel at the annual flower show in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. As long as life is unfolding for me, I don't see any reason to retire.
So the moral of the story is, it's never too late.
No. Keep your resume polished up.
Because you always reinvent yourself, I never end an interview without asking you the most important lesson that you've learned on your journey thus far. So what is it today?
That's easy. There is a place on the film that the National Park Service developed where a Rosie, who lives in Rossmore, and she says that period was the greatest coming together of the American people that she had ever lived through. And when the film was first released to us, I used to stand against the wall and watch the faces of the audience as she uttered those words. And I'd think, how can Agnes say that? She knows that isn't true. I've got to speak to that woman. And one day, after my 90th birthday, I was suddenly able to hear that that was Agnes's truth. And that there were many truths, that we all create our own reality, and that there are truths that rise out of religious conviction, and they rise out of education, they rise out of life experience, that many of those truths are in conflict, but nonetheless true. And I realized that as long as there was a place on the planet where Agnes's truth and mine could coexist, that that was going to be enough for me from that day forward. And for me, that's the park that I'm working at. And I get to share that insight with the 14-year-olds that come through, which I consider a real privilege. So they don't have to get to be 90 years old before they discover that. That probably is the most important lesson I've learned in the last decade.
The existence of multiple truths.
Yes.
That's Betty Reed Soskin, who celebrated her retirement from the National Park Service on Saturday. We'll roll out with Betty's song, Sign My Name to Freedom, which is the same as the title of her book that was published in 2018. That's it for this evening's newscast. Thanks to Radha Keel, who's at the controls, and to you, our listeners, for tuning in. In the words of Betty, remember to embrace the world as a both-and place with multiple truths. I'm Sharon Sabota. Good evening. And signed my name to freedom.